So good morning, everyone. Thank you for attending the session on alcohol surveillance. This is something that's very near and dear to my heart, so I'm glad to see all of you here. So today, I'm going to talk about an analysis that we conducted in New Mexico in two of our smaller metropolitan areas, looking at the association between alcohol outlet density and violent crime. So I just want to start off with a little bit of background. Some of you probably already know this, but you know, there is an association between the number of alcohol outlets you have in a particular geographic area and consumption. And often it means that people tend to drink more excessively. Even though the evidence is a little bit, there's some evidence that supports this and some evidence that doesn't. There is a relationship between alcohol outlet density and motor vehicle crashes. I think the best evidence that we have on alcohol outlet density, what's been studied quite extensively, is the relationship between the number of alcohol outlets you have and violent crime. And there's a great paper that came out from Atlanta looking at the reduction of alcohol outlet density. And actually, many of the methods, in fact, the methods that we used for this analysis really come from that paper and from the CDC. One of the things I want to say before moving on, though, is that a lot of this literature is limited in that a lot of the studies take place in fairly large metropolitan areas, so places like Atlanta, places like New Orleans. And so there's not a lot of literature looking at alcohol outlet density and its relationship to alcohol-related public health outcomes in sort of smaller metropolitan areas and more semi-rural and rural areas. And so that was part of why we wanted to take on this project. I just wanted to just quickly, show you some examples of alcohol outlets. I think most of us, when we think of an alcohol outlet, think of a bar or a liquor store, but also a restaurant is an alcohol outlet. And I know in New Mexico, and maybe this is true in your jurisdictions as well, breweries are becoming, very, very popular and are also alcohol outlets. So this was kind of what our intention was. We wanted to look at whether or not we could measure alcohol outlet density using these methods created by the CDC. And I think, Bob later on is going to talk a little bit about the guide that's coming out from the CDC. We got a sneak preview of this. And then look at the association between alcohol outlet density and violent crime. And then even though I'm not going to show any maps today, we are working with our community to develop some alcohol outlet density maps that will be helpful for them in talking about this with their policymakers and with their stakeholders. So the data for this analysis comes from a variety of different places. Our liquor license data comes from the Alcohol and Gaming Division. Every year we ask them for a file of all active liquor licenses, and then there's information in those files that allows us to geocode the data. For our two communities, we went to our police departments and asked them to provide us with violent crime incidents. So these are defined using the FBI definition, so that includes homicide, aggravated assault, sexual assault, and robbery. And then for our models, we thought of some confounders, some population-based confounders, so things like age, sex, race, ethnicity, and poverty. These are the methods that we sort of went through to do this project. We had to geocode all of our liquor licenses in New Mexico, as well as our violent crimes. We calculated weighted census block centroids. I don't know how many of you were in the pre-conference on Sunday, but I talked a little bit about we chose to do this because census block centroids aren't always a great representation of where the population actually lives. And then we calculated this alcohol index and this crime index for each census block area, and then we use linear regression to model the association between these two variables. So I want to just really quickly kind of explain how we calculate this alcohol index. So here we have a census block. This is actually one of a real census block in one of our study areas, and you can see that black dot is our weighted census block centroid, which is representative of where the population is. And then we have the nearest seven alcohol outlets represented by those blue squares. And so what we did, and there's lots of different ways you can measure distance, but for this particular project, we just measured straight line Euclidean distance as the crow flies. And those are the real distances in miles between the census block centroid and the nearest seven outlets. You take the inverse of that distance. This is a kind of weighting technique. And then to create the alcohol index, you take the sum of those inverse distances. And I believe that for this particular census block, the alcohol index is about 73.5. So for our first community, we did Gallup, New Mexico. So Gallup is a town of about 20,000 folks, according to the 2010 population. It's in a county called McKinley County. It's in the northwestern part of our state. You can see we included about 49 licenses in our analysis. There are actually more licenses in Gallup, but we excluded licenses like manufacturer licenses, where those businesses don't actually sell to the public. They sell to retailers who then sell to the public. It's a fairly so Gallup has a slightly older age population, so about 45% of folks are 35 and over, and the majority of folks in Gallup identify as Native or Hispanic. And these are the crude linear regression results that show you the association between the alcohol index that we created and the crime index. So you can see that there's a statistically significant association, as the alcohol index goes up. So as you have more alcohol outlets and they're closer together, you also see an increase in violent crime. And these are our adjusted results, so adjusted for differences in age, distribution, gender, race, ethnicity, as well as poverty. And even though it's slightly attenuated, this is still a statistically significant association. So these are the results from our second metropolitan, or our second study area. Las Cruces is in Doña Ana County, so this is in the southern part of our state. A slightly larger population than Gallup. We included 123 licenses in this analysis. Again, there are probably closer to 133, but again, we excluded certain licenses where they don't sell to the public. This is a slightly younger population. One of our major universities is in this city, and a different race ethnicity makeup. So most folks in Las Cruces identify either as Hispanic or non-Hispanic white. And again, this is just the crude linear regression showing you the association between our alcohol index. Again, that's our measure of alcohol outlet density and violent crime. And then this is adjusted for the various differences in the population. So age group, gender, race, ethnicity, and poverty. So there, this is just a very quick sort of analysis that I'm showing you. But basically, there are several sort of strengths and limitations here. So one is that this is a cross-sectional study. It would be nice to eventually do this longitudinally so that we can think about causality. Our poverty measures were fairly limited. So in the 2010 census, they did not do the long form, which means that poverty measures are not available. So you have to use the American Community Survey. So we had to use five-year American Community Survey estimates at the census tract level. And if you've ever been to New Mexico, our census tracts are humongous. So for example, in Gallup, there's only one whole census tract within the city, and then it's made up, there are bits and pieces of four other census tracts that are within the city. So really we're including kind of folks who don't actually live in Gallup when we're including poverty measures at that level. And I don't know if there are any geographers in the room. We worked with geographers at UNM, but we are sort of looking at spatial data, so there is a possibility that there's spatial autocorrelation, which is sort of where you might find spurious associations because things that are closer together are more likely to are more alike than different, than things are further away. But our geographers at UNM told us not to worry about this so much. But there are a couple of different strengths, and this is really due to the strengths of the methods created by the CDC, which is that this spatial access measure that we're using as our measure of alcohol outlet density really helps us address sort of this ease of access, and unlike some of the other ways of measuring alcohol outlet density, isn't limited to predetermined boundaries. So just a few conclusions. We did find a positive association between our measure of alcohol outlet density and crime, which is what's supported by the literature. We didn't actually find that these demographic differences were significant in any of our models. And even though we haven't done the next step of really looking for clustering, there is some indication in looking at our maps that there might be clustering of alcohol outlets in both of the study areas. And I definitely want to take some time to acknowledge there were a lot of people. This project's been going on for a couple of years, and there were a lot of folks besides just the authors who helped us with this, who took a look at a lot of the maps that we created, who took a look at the results, and who also provided us data and feedback. and definitely the CDC for providing us with an advanced copy, a sneak peek at the guide, and Dr. Zhang at the CDC, who actually did a lot of the work, who did the work for the paper that came out, that was done, the study that was done in Atlanta, and of course support from CSTE, CDC, and SAMHSA for my fellowship. And I think I have some time. I know I went through that very quickly, so I think I have some time for questions. Oh, okay. Yeah, go ahead. What do you mean state versus local licensing? Okay, so I can back up. So licensing in every state is different, as you probably already know. And in New Mexico, we have various different kinds of liquor licenses. There are some that are called dispenser licenses that allow folks to sell beer, wine, and liquor, and they are basically private property. So you can own them, you can pass them down to your children. The state often preempts kind of the local say. We have something called local option districts, and you know they have some say in whether or not a license can move into their local option district, but that can then be overturned at the state level sometimes. I don't know, Laura, if you want to add anything to that. Great. It was. Go ahead, sir.
So I'm not sure if I'm speaking in the right terminology. So the concept of population density and its proximity to stores, convenience stores, and or healthy food stores. I was wondering if an index can be developed for, let's see, healthy food stores, which gravitated more toward population density in relationship to the violent crime, can result in the same correlational results. Just the thought.
So the idea that it's simply a matter of the density of stores in general, some of which happen to be alcohol outlets, and that's why we might be finding the association? Is that your... I would argue though that the density of alcohol outlets, I think that, you know, some of the literature I think shows that when you have a lot of alcohol outlets and they're very close together, people actually come to those areas in particular cities to drink. And so I would argue that a density of healthy food stores would maybe hypothesize that you'd see a different kind of behavior than you would if people are kind of coming together to a particular area to drink, where you would see a different kind of behavior. So and your point is well taken, and I think one of the geographers that we worked with did think about the fact that, you know, where you have high density of anything, you would probably have more crime, right? Because, you know, you have more people. But I would argue that there is something very specific that a high density of alcohol outlets would contribute to certain things like crime or maybe even other alcohol-related outcomes. No, so in New Mexico, you know, we have different types of licenses, but it's not clear from the license file whether or not something is on-premise or off-premise. We would actually have to call up all our 2,000 and some odd licenses to actually determine whether or not they only were on-premise or only off-premise or both.
Yeah. So, I mean, this is great, and I think you obviously do
So the way that, so I've already done some of this dissemination in terms of presentation, similar to this one, except we included the maps. We actually, I included both the regression results that you saw here as well as some of the maps. The maps tend to be chloropleths at this point, kind of showing the distribution of the alcohol index across the various census blocks. I'm not particularly happy with that representation. I think that, you know, I'd like to work more with community members to sort of create layers for what might be important. So maybe a chloropleth that then also has a layer that shows what might be termed vulnerable places. And so I'm still working on trying to think through what would be appropriate to show on a map and really at what level. Because we could show kind of a zoomed out level, but we could also kind of go in and show various parts of, you know, of our study areas, of our communities. I think we're good.